We turn in sacred scripture to Isaiah chapters 11 and 12. We read two chapters this morning, Isaiah 11 and 12. The text is chapter 12, verse 3. And as we read chapter 11, take note of how Jesus is described as the new David and as the new Adam and as the new Moses. He is the Messiah who's bringing salvation. He's the better David, the better Adam, the better Moses. Isaiah chapter 11 and 12. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is speaking of Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He is the better David, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. He's also the new Adam. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. He's also the new Moses. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. Maybe that was a better description of the new David, the new king. Now, verse 15, the better or the new Moses. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah. Now the essential students will remember the word Lord is the word Jehovah. It's a repetition. The Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. So far we read God's holy and infallible word. The text is verse 3 of chapter 12. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we come this morning to the house of the Lord with thirsty souls. As we have already sung, apart from Thee I long and thirst and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. We have thirsty souls. We live as exiles in the midst of a desert wilderness, and we are ready this morning to drink deeply from the cup of salvation. We are ready to drink in the living waters that are drawn forth from the wells of salvation. Oh yes, throughout this past week, we have been able to drink from the wells of salvation. We've been able to open up God's Word and drink in God's Word in devotions. We've been able to go to the Lord in prayer. God has been with us this past week, supplying us our need through this wilderness wandering. But here on Sunday morning, we come as those who are thirsty once again to drink the refreshing waters of salvation. We come as those who are ready to commune with our God and enjoy His salvation in a special way, in His house and at His table. We come this morning to the house of the Lord as those who are thirsty, and we come as those who are also confident that we will have our thirst supplied. We will have our thirst satisfied. As we're going to sing in a moment, with the abundance of thy house we shall be satisfied. From rivers of unfailing joy our thirst shall be supplied. In the preaching, our thirst will be supplied, and at the Lord's Supper. This morning, we're going to draw from the wells of salvation, and by God's grace, we will have our thirsty souls satisfied. We take as our theme this morning, drawing from the wells of salvation with joy. Drawing from the wells of salvation with joy. We look at three things. First, we look at the wells of salvation. Second, we look at the drawing. And then third, we look at the joy. Here in Isaiah 12, verse 3, the prophet is making use of a figure. He's using a metaphor. He speaks of the wells of salvation. In Israel, in Bible days, wells were very common. We have wells today too, of course, but we don't think of wells today in quite the same way that they thought of wells back in Isaiah's day. We don't actually think of going to a well to get our water. We go to the kitchen faucet. Well, in Israel, the people went to the well and they would use a bucket to draw up water out of the well. For example, in Genesis 24, we read of how Abraham's servant Eliezer, when he was looking for a wife for Abraham's son Isaac, Eliezer came across a well, and at that well, he meets Rebekah, who is going to be the future wife of Isaac. In Genesis chapter 29, we read that when Jacob was running away from Esau, afraid that Esau was going to kill him, and when he was heading to his uncle Laban's house, Jacob ended up by the well of Haran. And that's where Jacob met his future wife, Rachel. Wells were a social gathering point for the people. Everyone needed to go to the well. In the New Testament, Jesus himself goes to the well of Jacob in Samaria, where he meets the woman of Samaria. And this is the figure used in Isaiah 12, verse 3. when it speaks of the wells of salvation. And the word well in this verse is not the normal word used for well. That's the word beer, like Beersheba or Beer Lahairoi. The word beer is the word well. Well, the word here in Isaiah 12 verse 3 is actually the word for spring or the word for fountain. So don't think here of stagnant water that might be sitting in a cistern, but think of clean, cool, cold, refreshing water, spring water that you would have access to through a well, so that you would draw up that spring water out of a well with a pail. Wells were common in Israel because wells were of absolute necessity. In the hot and dry climate that characterized the land of Canaan, the presence of a well meant the difference between life and death. In fact, you read of people almost dying because they had no water. Think of Hagar and her son Ishmael in Genesis 21, where they almost died, or at least her son Ishmael almost died of dehydration. Until what happened? God opened Hagar's eyes so that she saw that well of water. Abraham and Isaac even fought with their neighbors over rights to wells. So important were wells that when you traveled from well to well. And when you finally came on your long journey to another well, that was reason for rejoicing. In a sense, that meant that you could live to see another day. That well full of fresh, clean water was the only thing that would and could quench your thirst. People would come to the well dirty with dust, thirsty, and they could drink deeply from that well, and they could cleanse themselves with the water of that well. Wells were a source of life. We know the phrase, the wellspring of life. Well, all of that is an earthly picture. All of that is used as a figure. The reality is this. The world in which you and I live today is a desert wilderness, spiritually. You and I live in a dry and thirsty wasteland that is not conducive to spiritual life. What we need is water. Spiritual water. All along our spiritual pilgrimage, we need spiritual wells along the way. What the passage refers to as wells of salvation. And this is an idea that is frequently used in the Scriptures, even in Isaiah itself. In Isaiah 41, verses 17 and 18, Isaiah writes these words. Quote, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." In Isaiah 55 verse 1, we read, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." For just one more passage, in Revelation 7 verse 17, we read, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." In our text, these wells, these fountains, are called wells of salvation. And very specifically, this salvation is the salvation that God gives His people through His Messiah. That's why we read chapter 11. In chapter 11, Isaiah prophesies about the coming of the Messiah who's going to be the one who's better than David, the Messiah who's going to be better than Adam, who's going to be better than Moses. He will rule with perfect righteousness. He will bring about a new creation. He will deliver His people from bondage and tyranny in a far greater way than what Moses did. Notice in chapter 11, the references to that day. In that day, He will do all of these things. Verse 10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people." Verse 11, And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand again the second time to recover the remnant of His people. And now as you come to chapter 12, those references continue. That same day, chapter 12, verse 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." And in verse 4, again, "And in that day shall ye say." The point is, the salvation of which the prophet speaks when he says wells of salvation is the salvation found in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which He brings His people. And that comes out very explicitly in chapter 12, verse 1. In chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." God was angry with His people. He was angry with His people because of their sin. Because of our sin, we stand guilty before God, worthy of temporal and eternal punishment of body and soul. And not only were we guilty before God, but because of our sins, we were also enslaved to sin. And that's how Israel was living in Isaiah's day. They were walking openly in sin. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are predominantly about judgment. Woes upon the people because of their sin. But what do we read here? We read, "Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away." And that's a reference to the Messiah. That's a reference to Jesus Christ and His cross. God's anger is turned away precisely because of the Messiah, the anointed, the rod out of the stem of Jesse, who as the Messiah serves as the Savior of God's people. He delivers God's people from their sins. And how does He do that? Well, He does it by His perfect life of obedience, and He does it by His perfect atoning death on the cross. Jesus, the book of Romans tells us, is the propitiation of the sins of God's people. God's anger is turned away from us. It is deflected from us. It is propitiated, deflected away from us because God's anger falls upon Jesus instead. And Jesus has made the full covering, the full atonement for all the sins of God's people. So God's anger is turned away from us. And what's more, God causes His people to experience and to be certain of that truth, that His anger is turned away. Still in verse 1, we read, "Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Though we are sinners, God turns His anger from us, and instead He comforts us. We who sinned against Him, He comforts us. And He comforts us precisely by revealing to us that He has given us the Messiah, His only begotten Son, to bear the punishment for all our sins. And through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And that's how the Lord comforts us at the Lord's Supper this morning. That's the salvation the text is talking about when it talks about the wells of salvation. In verse 2, the prophet continues. He says, "Behold, God is my salvation." And he says, God is my salvation because God is the one who sends the Messiah. And God is my salvation because the Messiah is Himself God come in the flesh. Just a few chapters earlier, you read the word Emmanuel, God with us. So I can have confidence, the prophet says. I will trust, verse 2, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah. Right, essential students? The eternally unchanging God of the covenant, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. So what are these wells of salvation in verse 3? Well, Jesus is the well of salvation. The water in these wells is the water of eternal life that's found in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ even says so much when He talks to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. He says, Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus and all that is in Jesus, all the blessings of salvation, righteousness and holiness and eternal life is the well of salvation. Jesus is the one in whom life is found. Jesus is the one who supports that life by His Spirit when He imparts that life to us. Jesus is the one who refreshes us and cleanses us by His Holy Spirit. Jesus and the salvation found in Him, that salvation He imparts to His people, is the living water. Apart from Him, we long and thirst and not can satisfy. And perhaps the reason the word wells is in the plural is to emphasize that the water found in these wells is inexhaustible. All God's people drink from the wells of salvation. There needs to be no fighting over these wells, over any of the wells of salvation, because there's plenty of water for all God's people. The blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ are inexhaustible. These are the wells of salvation. That's the first thing. As we move on in the text, we must now look at the idea of drawing water out of the well. The text says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." What is this act of drawing water? Well, a few things to point out here. First of all, the passage does not tell us to dig wells of salvation. We must not dig the wells of salvation. To dig the wells of salvation would be the activity of looking to ourselves for salvation. And many people do this. Many people spend their lives digging and digging and digging. And they have no rest in their souls because they are forever digging, but they never come across the refreshing waters of eternal life. We need to understand, congregation, Jesus has already dug the wells of salvation. He dug the wells of salvation through His perfectly obedient life and His atoning death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. Second of all, when the text says that we shall draw water out of the wells of salvation, that does not mean that it is my activity of drawing water that gets me saved. No, we read in verse 1 and verse 2, that God already is our salvation. Rather, what this word draw is referring to is the activity of faith in the regenerated child of God. It's the activity of faith. Faith is the activity of taking Christ, appropriating Christ to myself. That comes out also in verse 2. I will trust. I will believe. I will exercise faith. And not be afraid. I will trust. I will rest in Jesus Christ. I will take Jesus to myself. Through trusting, I receive and experience and enjoy God as the God of my salvation. Beloved congregation, that's exactly what we're going to do at the Lord's Supper. You need to understand, at the Lord's Supper, we're going to take Jesus with the hand and the mouth of faith. The Belgic Confession says, faith is the hand and the mouth of the soul by which we take Jesus to ourselves and receive Him by faith for the support of our spiritual life. And here in Isaiah 12, all that the prophet is doing is using a different figure. By faith, we drop the bucket into the well and take Jesus to ourselves and drink Him for the support of our spiritual life. That's why God gives us the Lord's Supper. That's why He gives us the preaching as springs of water, as oases in the midst of our pilgrim wanderings, pilgrim pathway. And let me add this. How does a person draw water out of a well? Children, how does a person draw water out of a well? Well, of course, you draw water out of a well with an empty bucket. And just so we come to the Lord's Supper this morning with empty hands, an empty bucket, entirely emptied of self, of anything that we might bring. And through faith, through the instrument of faith, that bucket of faith, we seek to be filled entirely with Jesus and the riches that are found in Him alone. And congregation, this is what we do when we sit under the preaching. This is what we do when we open up our Bibles at family devotions and in personal devotions. This is what we do when we pray and we call upon the Lord. We're drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Maybe that's why the word wells is in the plural. Because there are many different means of grace, many different wells, you might say, in which we can drop our bucket and pull up the blessings of salvation and enjoy the living waters that come to us from Jesus Christ. Always alone through the instrument of faith. And that's the Lord's Supper too. God gives us the Lord's Supper as a means of grace so that at the Lord's Supper we can draw water out of the well of salvation with joy. Well, how do we do this? That's the third thing we look at. How do we do this? We do it with joy. That's why we call it the celebration of the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, God comforts our weary souls. At the Lord's Supper, God refreshes us through the working of His Holy Spirit. At the Lord's Supper, God gives us a sign and a seal, a picture and a guarantee that we are partakers indeed of the once for all sacrifice of Jesus offered on the cross. And we are indeed partakers of all His benefits. Forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. God's anger is turned away and He comforts us. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and He is become my salvation. We sing unto the Lord, the prophet says, for He hath done excellent things. And as he says at the end of chapter 12 in verse 6, He is the one who has chosen to dwell in the midst of us. So listen to these words from Revelation 22, right at the end of the Bible. I, Jesus, have sent my angel, my messenger, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. Isaiah 11, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. At the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I am that Messiah. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. O beloved congregation, as you come to the Lord's Supper this morning and draw from the wells of salvation, be comforted, be refreshed, be cleansed, and be strengthened. Therefore, with joy, Jesus is your Messiah who has saved you. He is your salvation. Therefore, with joy, ye shall draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Amen.